If you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. I don't anticipate we'll get through with this whole section because we're going to be looking at three different things in this last section. And the first of those things is the greetings. The greetings. And you might think, why spend a whole sermon just talking about greetings? You know, is this a plug for Hallmark? What's going on here? No, it is not. But these are thrilling things. And so please give careful attention to the reading of God's holy word. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Maranatha. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask Elder Steve French, please, to lead us in prayer that God would bless and that the Lord would come by His Spirit to show us wondrous things in His Word.
Lord God, we do rejoice that we can gather in Your presence here today. Lord, we rejoice that we are clothed in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and by His blood that we can enter into Your throne room of grace and worship You. Lord, we are amazed that You would have anything to do with us. We thank You, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us of our unrighteousness and continue to sanctify us. And so we do pray now, Lord, that You would come and walk in our midst, and by the teaching ministry of Your Holy Spirit, You would continue to sanctify us through the preaching of Your Word. Lord, that we would continue to grow in Christ and be effective tools in Your hand to see change in our culture and to see Your kingdom furthered and see the gospel spread throughout the world as the ocean, as the waters cover the earth. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Many times when we meet people, we greet them. It's not usually our practice when we're leaving each other to greet one another. And yet, in a sense, we do that also. What is this matter of greetings? You see here at the end of this epistle of 1 Corinthians that the Apostle Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is leaving these dear ones that he loves so with greetings. He greets them. Others send their greetings. He calls them to greet one another. What is all this greeting business? Let's look at some passages of Scripture to help us, first of all, understand what a greeting is. This word, greeting, very interesting word. It's a word that means to salute, to greet, to embrace. It's a word that has the idea of drawing close, and it's used in a number of places in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, it occurs about 66 times in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, You can turn there with me, Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The Lord Jesus is exposing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees who had perverted the Old Testament. They had twisted the Word of God to mean something that God had never intended. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament advocated that God's people were to love their enemies. If you'll just turn with me over to the book of Exodus, I'll just show you one passage that clearly shows that the Old Testament taught this very thing. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, here's just one of the places where we see the Lord giving instructions to his people, so don't let anybody mislead you in a passage like Matthew 5 that Jesus is somehow repudiating the Old Testament and replacing it with some higher standard now. No, he's rebuking the perversion of the Old Testament that the Pharisees had done to God's holy, righteous standard. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 4, if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. What would be the sinful inclination? It would be, if you see your enemy's ox or donkey wandering away, the sinful inclination would be to help it on down the road. To pretend you didn't see it, maybe even to rejoice. No, the Lord says, if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under its load, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him. You shall not pervert the justice due to your needy brother in his dispute. And so that's just one example in the Old Testament of how the Lord Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. Now turn back to Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's what God had intended in his word. That's what his word actually originally meant. Contrary to what the Pharisees had perverted it to say, up in verse 43. Verse 45, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Years ago, there was somebody that did something, and I ended up confronting them here in this area, and they quit speaking to me. But it was my joy when we would pass on the road to give them the greeting. And eventually, after about a year, they started waving back. That's what Jesus is talking about, this thing of greeting, an expression of goodwill, an expression of kindness, an expression of tenderness is to be given to those around us. Look with me in Matthew chapter 10. The Lord Jesus gives instructions to his disciples as they go out and preach the gospel. And in verse 11. We'll just jump down in the passage. Into whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it and abide there until you go away. And as you enter the house, give it your greeting. Obviously, when he's referring to house, he's not talking about you talk to the door or the ceiling, but he's talking about the people in the house. He says, when you enter the house, give it your greeting. And verse 13, if the house is worthy, let your greeting of peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your greeting of peace return to you. And whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And so here you get a little bit more information about this greeting, this expression of peace, this expression of friendship, this expression of I'm asking for God's blessing to be upon you in this house. And if people receive that blessing, if they say, yes, I do love the Lord Jesus and I welcome you in his name, then your greeting remains upon that house. But if they reject the gospel, then that greeting of peace cannot remain. Then there is this other sign. And it's interesting in 1 Corinthians 16 that the Apostle Paul, in the midst of all of these greetings, and turn there with me to 1 Corinthians 16, because I want you to see the context. Down in verse 21, the greeting is in my own hand, Paul. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But notice verse 22, if anyone does not love the Lord, let him be anathema. And so while all of these greetings are going on, there's not some kind of automatic, I'm asking for God's blessing upon you and therefore, everything is wonderful for you. No, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, if anyone does not embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. The judgment, the eternal judgment of God is resting upon that person. And then look at the next word. Not only does he say, let him be anathema, but then there's another thing that he declares. Maranatha. O Lord, come. The Lord is coming. The Lord is the one who comes by His Spirit and is at work in people's hearts and lives, granting to them repentance and faith in Jesus. He is the one who comes in history by His Spirit, pouring out blessings and judgments upon people, whether they love the Lord Jesus Christ or whether they turn Him away. There is no peace apart from embracing and knowing the Prince of Peace. And so these greetings are expressions of God's love and mercy, of everything being good. All is well. And this salutation, this greeting, this symbol of saying, hi, I welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is only something that can be personally enjoyed as we know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives us His greeting. And these greetings that we give to each other are symbols and greetings in His name. Let's look at a few other passages. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, this is an interesting passage where the Lord Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, he's giving instructions to the 70. There were 70 disciples. Not only did he have the 12, but he had the 70. and he sent them out two by two. And so here we have 35 teams of men going out to preach the gospel. And let's start reading in verse 1. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech or beg the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. And whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And so here we have a little bit more information about this greeting. Now, isn't it interesting in verse 4 that he says, as you're going on your way, greet no one until you get to your destination. Now, what is Jesus saying, not be friendly? No. What he's saying is, you're on a mission, and you don't have time. Every person you come to on the road to get off your donkey or to get down out of the chariot, or if you're walking, to stop and go up to every person that you meet and to say, I pray that God's peace will be upon you, and then to give them the expression of that, which was a hug and a peck on the cheek, on each cheek, in that. I mean, can you imagine every time you went on a mission, everybody that you met, you have to stop, walk up to them, shake their hand vigorously, ask them how they're doing, where they're. That's what Jesus is talking about. But he says, when you get to the village where I have sent you to go, notice verse 5, he talks about this greeting. Whatever house you enter, first say, and here's the greeting, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. If he's somebody who knows the Prince of Peace, who is welcoming the Prince of Peace, he may not be a Christian yet, but he's very open to having you come and to share the gospel. And if he's a man of peace, then your peace will rest upon him, upon that household. But if not, it will return to you. And verse 7, stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. So whatever is the first house that invited them to stay in, that was the house that they were to stay in, whether it be very lowly, a poor family, or whether it be a very well-to-do family. That didn't matter. But they're not to be going just from house to house. Like, you know, I think probably the beds would be softer over at this house, so I'm not going to stay here anymore. Or the food would be better over at this house. No, whatever house you first come to, stay in that house. And notice that this greeting is not only for the house, but for the village, for the city. Look at verse 8. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. So this thing of greetings has to do with an expression of well-being, an expression of tenderness, an expression of kindness, an expression of love, an expression that is demonstrated in word and deed. It involves an attitude of tenderness, of compassion, that I desire for things to be well with you, for you to experience peace with God and blessing, and that the Lord would smile upon you. That's what this greeting involves. And you'll notice that there were physical expressions of this greeting. It was not just words. It was words. Let's look at a few greetings that we have. For example, in the book of Genesis, chapter 43, here we have the brothers of Joseph appearing before the man who is next to Pharaoh himself. They don't recognize that this one that they are now bowing before is none other than their own long-lost brother that they had conspired first to murder and then had sold into slavery. And what does Joseph say as the ruler in charge of Egypt? Pharaoh said, look, I'm just turning everything over to you. When these brothers come and present themselves, what is it that he says to them? Look at verse 23. He said, Shalom. Be at ease or be at peace. That's the first thing that comes out of his mouth. He's asking for God's blessing of well-being, that all would be well with these brothers because of who God is. Look at verse 23. He said, be at ease, or shalom. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and then he brought Simeon out to them. And this is in the context of them being terrified that, you know, their money had been returned in their sacks, and they're coming unglued. They think, whoa, we're in big trouble. And when they are brought back now before Joseph, what does he say? Greetings. Shalom. Or let's go over to the book of Ruth. I love this greeting. I wish that we might kind of take note of this. This would be a good thing. Instead of us, when we show up and we see each other saying, hi. Okay? Well, what does that mean? Hi. Well, here's how Boaz said hi. Here's how Boaz gave the greeting. And here's how those that worked in his fields who were enjoying his kindness to them responded. Look at the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Verse 4, now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. That's how he gave the greeting. That's how he said hi. May the Lord be with you. You see, it wasn't just this generic sort of secular version that we have devolved into in this culture. But here was this Christ-centered, godly greeting. A salutation where he said in verse 4, may the Lord be with you. Now, that's a glorious way to greet somebody. May the Lord be with you. And then notice how the reapers greeted Boaz. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. That's a greeting. In the early days of the New Testament church, when Christians would meet one another on the road, or when they would meet a stranger, one of their greetings, they would say, he is risen. And if it was a Christian that you had just met, and they heard you saying to you, he is risen, they would respond with a greeting and say, he is risen indeed. And that was a way of encouraging one another. We have a risen Savior, and we rejoice that we're in His hands, and He's at work, and He holds us, and we have this wondrous thing in common. We both belong to the same Savior, and we both love Him, and instantly we have this joy to share together. That was the purpose of this greeting, to ask for God's blessing in the Lord Jesus, to declare that indeed God is the source of every good thing in Jesus Christ, and to encourage those around us to love Him and to respond. Let's look at another blessing. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. After Jesus was risen from the dead, and we'll start reading in verse 19 of John chapter 20. Verse 19, when therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, He gives them a greeting. What does He say? Peace be with you. First things out of His mouth, He gives them a greeting. Peace be with you. And when He had said this, He showed them both His hands and His side, and the disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus therefore said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore were saying to Him, We have seen the Lord. But He said to them, Unless I shall see in His hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into His side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, His disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, He gives them a greeting, Peace be with you. And then He said to Thomas, Reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to Him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Now, we could look at many other examples and information of this greeting, but I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians 16 because there was an expression of this greeting. There was a physical expression. As I said earlier, this Greek word has the idea of drawing to oneself. And the word itself has this idea of an embrace, this greeting. These expressions of words also were accompanied by a physical gesture of friendship and kindness. And notice in 1 Corinthians 16, in verse 20, All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. If you travel, if you meet somebody from Europe, especially Eastern Europe, the way they greet one another is they hug you and they just kind of give you a little kiss, not a big juicy kiss on the lips. That's something that is reserved for husbands and wives. But just a little peck on each cheek. And you remember that it was that very symbol of friendship, of kindness, of tenderness, of affection that Judas had arranged with Sanhedrin, the one that I kiss, he's the one that you want to arrest. There in the garden, we're going to go. It's going to be nighttime, and we don't want you to miss which one to arrest. He has all these disciples, and so I'm going to go up, and the one that I kiss, he's the one. And so this very expression of friendship was turned on its head in a very perverted and horribly ugly way. That with this very expression of tenderness and kindness that I'm asking for peace to be upon you. I am going to betray you and deliver you up to be executed. You see, exactly the opposite of what this kiss is supposed to be. Different cultures have different physical expressions of this well-being. In our culture, we shake hands. You know, you walk up to somebody, and if you reach out your hand to them, what is that? It's an expression of peace. It's an expression of, I want to be friends. It's an expression of, I'm asking for there to be peace between us, and I want you to know I mean no harm to you. In the earlier days, when our country was first being settled, the raising of the hand, you know, peace. There are all kinds of expressions of this tenderness, of this expression of love and kindness. But we need to understand that this is because of the Lord Jesus giving us peace. That the Lord has made peace with us, and because He has made peace with us, we desire to show His kindness and His mercy and His gentleness to those around us. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture to kind of see the backdrop of why we are a people who love to greet one another in Christ, and even greet people who are Christians with a desire that they would come to know the peace of God. First of all, turn with me to the book of Titus, chapter 3. Titus, chapter 3. And here's why Christians love to greet one another. Because God has greeted us in Christ. God has come and made us friends. When we were once estranged from God, He has reached out His hand to us. He has embraced us and kissed us, welcoming us into His family. Before we look, well, let's go ahead and look at Titus 3 first. You're there. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. And so here's this picture of God's people being full of compassion, full of kindness, exhibiting the goodness of God, His gentleness, His kindness, showing every consideration for the people around us. You know, strangers, opening the door for a stranger, you young men. That's one of the expressions of God's kindness. Consideration for people. Standing up. We were at a concert, and there was an elderly lady who had come. We had gotten there. Got a good seat, and here was this lady who was with a walker. Okay, now, what did the Lord Jesus want me to do? Did He want me to sit in my nice, soft, cushy chair and enjoy this concert there, or did He want me to get up and offer to this lady with a walker to sit in this nice, cushy chair? I gave her my seat, and her daughter was with her, and she appreciated that. And I said, well, I pray the Lord Jesus will bless you. You see, it's not enough to just, God doesn't want us to just show these expressions of kindness. There have been many people who've come to America, and when they are around God's people who really know the Lord Jesus, they see just in these small expressions of kindness that are expressions that flow out of this greeting of asking God's blessing of peace and well-being. And so, why do we want to do that? Verse 3, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. And so what in the world would make a rascal like me a different person, or like you, a different person that would want to show kindness and gentleness? Well, if you're a Christian, it's because God has showered His kindness upon us. And He has treated us with such amazing love and mercy, giving us what Jesus deserves, and Jesus taking what we deserve. He died on the cross in our place, and that makes us different, makes us new, a new creation, that we now belong to the living God and want to show His kindness and His mercy. And so, turn with me also over to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15. And here we have three parables that are recorded for us. And you'll look in Luke chapter 15 in verses 1 and 2. Now all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near Him to listen to Him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so the Pharisees are grumbling at what? Jesus sitting down and eating with people who weren't right with God. And so Jesus tells three parables. He tells the parable of the lost sheep. He told them this parable: "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And so there's the first parable. Second parable, verse 8. "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now the third parable. He said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' He divided his wealth between them, and not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' He got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and" what? "Kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to be merry." Then the rest of the parable The older son gets ticked. He is very angry because he says, I don't get it. This rascal, no good brother of mine has come home, and here you are having a feast. You've never had a feast from me. And he was very indignant that the father was celebrating over this prodigal son who has come home. And the father rebukes his son and tells his son, look, this brother of yours, this son of mine, he was lost, but he's been found. He was dead, but he's alive now. And all that I have belongs to you. Yes, I rejoice to have you. The Pharisees were this older brother. They were self-righteous. They viewed themselves as in a position that they had earned, and they did not understand the grace of God. And they despised this thing of Jesus receiving sinners. But I want you to notice the picture of what this father does. He runs out, he embraces, and he kisses this son. That's what God has done to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were estranged from God, and God has greeted us. He has embraced us. And he has given us life in the Lord Jesus. And so this greeting that we give, to say the word greetings, many times when I send emails out, I'll say greetings in the Lord Jesus. And I know sometimes people think, why in the world does he always say that? Well, it's not just something that I'm doing. I'm asking God's blessing to be upon you because the blessing of God is so amazing. The blessing of God is so sweet to have our sins washed away. And we have the joy of sharing that one with another. Doesn't that thrill your heart? Turn with me to another passage, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And while you're on your way over to Philippians, stop at Ephesians 4. Okay? So let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. And here we see this tenderness, this compassion, this servant's heart that God calls upon us to be enjoying one with another. As those who have been rescued by the mercies of Christ. He says, I beg you to walk, to live out this life of forgiveness and mercy and love in Jesus, one with another. With all humility, gentleness, patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. You see this compassion, this tenderness that God has showered upon us. He's had compassion upon us. He showed mercy to me. And that's what we're to be living out one with another and even showing people who aren't even Christians. The compassion, the tenderness of Christ. And this greeting, how even we greet one another, is just a little symbol, just a little taste of this life of living out the tenderness and compassion of Jesus one with another. Now let me ask you, do you have the condition of having a quartz heart? You know what quartz is? Or diamond, that'd be even worse. Do you have a diamond heart? It ought not be, should it, that brothers and sisters in the body of Christ would be hard toward one another. It ought not be that husband and wife would be hard toward one another, slow to reach out the hand and say, I want peace. slow to forgive. We ought not be people who hold grudges and accounts one with another. God doesn't do that with me. He doesn't do that with you. And we ought not with one another. We ought to be even more than we are, showing the tenderness and the mercy of Jesus one with another. And this whole matter of us greeting one another is a symbol of that. Look over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, is there any encouragement in Christ? And a Christian says, oh yes, he has come over and over and over by his Spirit to whisper words of hope and revival to my heart, calling me anew and afresh to love him and to hope in him. Yes, there's encouragement in Christ. If there's any consolation of love, is there any consolation where our hearts are consoled and encouraged to have strength again to walk and to love our God and to love one another? Yes, we've all experienced that. If any fellowship of the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes and here our hearts were growing hard toward God, hard toward one another. You know, that's a scary thing, isn't it? And so these greetings were just a little reminder. God has shown mercy to me, and I want to show mercy to you. God has reached out His hand. God has shaken my hand, and I want to shake your hand. God has declared that I'm forgiven. And I want you to enjoy that forgiveness. I want you to experience that peace with God. We're like Joseph, even with people that haven't treated us right. We yearn to see them. We practice Motel 6 theology. You know what Motel 6 theology is? We'll leave the light on for you. Where even though they may not be there yet, we yearn to see them come to know our sweet Savior, the Lord Jesus. Even people who haven't treated us right. And so these greetings, they're powerful. This isn't just some, you know, empty form that you say at the beginning and the end of a letter. Now, how many letters have you written? Dear so-and-so. Do you really mean it? Oh, you're dear to my heart, and I think of you, and when I think of you, I'm just so thankful for you. And then you end your letter sincerely. And are you saying, I really, really, really mean everything I've said in this letter, and I'm asking for God's richest blessings to be upon you? No, it's just basically a form. I mean, we're not meaning ill will toward people. Well, it would be easy for us to look at these greetings in 1 Corinthians 16 and just think, okay, so they said hi to each other. Big whoopee. But these are wondrous expressions of the mercy and the love and the tenderness and the compassion that God has shown to us, that we have the joy of sharing one with another. And so, how are we doing greeting one another? And I'm not against sending a card to each other. When I said earlier that I'm not doing this as an advertisement for some a greeting card company, but greeting cards, there's nothing wrong at all with sending a note to someone. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul was writing God's very word when at the beginning of some of his epistles, he says greetings, and at the end of almost all of his epistles, he ends them saying, I Paul, greet you. This desire for them to have a hug in the Lord Jesus. That's what the greeting is all about. Well, we're going to stop there today. And next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the particular greetings from these various people. And what an encouragement and a blessing it was. But may the Lord grow us to be those that enjoy His greeting in the Lord Jesus that we glory that God has greeted us, that He has embraced us and kissed us, and that we have the joy of sharing that one with another. You know, there are people in this world who are hurting. As a matter of fact, everybody is. We need the mercy of Jesus. And it's our privilege to share and show just a little taste of the mercy we have received with those around us. What a privilege. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord, with the house that is in their, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Maranatha. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, if we have not experienced the mercies of Jesus to run to you and to confess our sin and to, Lord, be received like the prodigal was, I pray that, Lord, you would speak to any here in this place who have never run to you, Lord Jesus. And that, Father, we would see and understand our need to be embraced by you, to have our sins washed away, so that we can be reconciled with you, so that we can be friends with you. Lord Jesus, if it were not for your coming and taking on flesh and living a perfect life and dying on the cross, we would forever be estranged. And Lord, how we stand in amazement that you would give yourself for us. And so, Lord, draw those that are apart from you. Lord, may they hear your sweet voice calling them to run home to you like that prodigal son. And to say, Father, I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but I'm coming just asking you to forgive me and to receive me. And Lord, how we thank you for that picture of that father who is just a little shadow of you. How you delight to embrace prodigal sons and daughters that come to you in Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we can give the greeting one to another. Lord, in our church family, in our homes. Lord, even with people who are out in the community that may not even be Christians. Lord, we want the peace, the blessing, the mercies of Jesus, Lord, to be experienced by others, by all the people around us. Hear our cry, O Lord. Write these words upon our hearts and lives. We love you, Lord. We love one another. Help us to grow, to show it more and better. Lord, as we think about these greetings, help us to be thinking through the coming week better how we can greet one another. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen.